Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of All Souls. And then, as we always do, we look ahead to the readings for this coming Sunday, which will be the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. But I want to say something about the Feast of All Souls, just for a couple of minutes here. And I want to, again, quote Pope Emeritus Benedict, because it's so clear that, let me read what he said first, and I'll make a comment. He said, "I would go so far as to say that if there were no purgatory, then we would have to invent it. For who would dare say of himself that he was able to stand directly before God? And yet we don't want to be, to use an image from Scripture, a pot that turned out wrong, that has to be thrown away. We want to be able to be put right. Purgatory basically means that God can put the pieces back together again, that he can cleanse us in such a way that we are able to be with him and can stand there in the fullness of life. Purgatory strips off from one person what is unbearable and from another the inability to bear certain things, so that in each of them a pure heart is revealed, and we can see that we all belong together in one enormous symphony of being." So, in Benedict's words, purgatory basically means that God can put the pieces back together again. Pray for all those you love. Pray for all those you love, even if you think they're in heaven now, and they well could be, but pray for them. Or ask God to apply the merits of that prayer to someone else. But pray for those who have gone before you. Pray that they may see the face of God very soon, if they don't already. Let's take a look now at the readings for this coming Sunday. That is the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first reading is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 2 to 6. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Fear the Lord your God, and keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments, which I enjoin on you, and thus have long life. Hear then, Israel, and be careful to observe them, that you may grow and prosper the more, in keeping with the promise of the Lord, the God of your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today." So, brothers and sisters, as we live this life, as we deal with this life, we've spoken about this Feast of All Saints yesterday. We celebrate the Feast of All Souls today, and we look forward to this Sunday in which we are told, "Fear the Lord your God, keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments, which I enjoin on you, and thus have long life, not only here, but for eternity." Take one commandment. If you feel like you've been away from God for a long time, take one commandment and say, "Am I living this out?" Just take one at a time. And ask God to help you conform your life more fully to him. If you've been faithful, but you're kind of still immersed in this world, ask God to reprioritize your priorities, to help you focus on those things, especially which are going to help you to heaven. They're going to help you to eternal life. Ask God to help you with that, and he will. He will. Psalm 18, "I love you, Lord, my strength. He is the source of my life. He is my life. He is my strength. He is my hope. He is everything for me." Everything for me. Is that true for you? Or have you become satisfied with lesser goals? Well, at least I'm this, or I'm that, or I've accomplished this, as though those were the things that God is looking for. What God is looking for is, are you drawing closer to me, son or daughter? Are you seeking to obey me more fully? Are you seeking to love me more? Are you seeking to help others come to love me as you love me? What's that priority? That's what's most important. Let's take a look now at the second reading for today from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 23 to 28. Brothers and sisters, the Levitical priests were many because they were prevented by death from remaining in office. But Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. Jesus intercedes for you day in and day out. Rejoice. Lean on his prayers. Join your prayers with his. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself on the cross. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests, but the word of the oath, which was taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Oh, brothers and sisters, how much God loves us, how much he desires to care for us, how much he suffered for us. For heaven's sakes, open your heart to him. Think of it here. If somebody saved your life here on earth, how would you relate to that person? You'd be forever grateful. You'd be remembering. You'd be thanking them on every occasion you could find to thank for their part in saving your life. Do we do that with Christ, who saved our lives for eternity? How often do we thank him for what he did for us? And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" And Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And then Jesus goes on to say, "The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now we need to stop right there and say, am I loving the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength? Am I? Or do I have him just compartmentalized for Sunday? He's got to be the ground of my being. He's got to be the walls and the roof. He's got to be everything. Is he? The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." In other words, you are on the right path. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. Sometimes they're confused. Sometimes they're convicted because they are very aware of other things in their life that take a lot of time and attention and energy, and that God does not have his rightful place. We need to look at that, brothers and sisters, all of us. We need to ask ourselves, does God have a rightful place in my life? Who is he? Is he truly the God of the living, my God. Is he truly that? Or do I give him token obedience? Brothers and sisters, be careful. Please be careful. It's so easy. It's so easy to get off track. So easy. If you ask God every day, help me to keep on track, and when I'm starting to veer off track, please alert me. He will do that. You ask him. He gave you a free will, so he will never force himself onto you. Brothers and sisters, let me close with this from a Trappistine nun. She was 49 years old when she wrote this. It is a profound joy to feel assured that the most intimate yearnings of our being, which draw us toward love, are pleasing to God. It is a profound joy to feel assured that the most intimate yearnings of our being, which draw us toward love, are pleasing to God. We feel a certain surprise which fills us with joy, that one of the qualities of this love should be its tenderness. How tender are you in loving? That if you're really attached to the love of God, if you really are orienting your life to God, then his love is working through you. And she says it should be reflected in a kind of tenderness. Is your love for others and your love for God tender? It's kind, it's merciful, it's forgiving, it's gentle, but it's profound. She goes on to say, I notice this above all when I come on those expressive images in the Old Testament. Father and mother may neglect me, but the Lord takes me into his care. That's Psalm 27. Like children carried at the breast, fondled on a mother's lap, I will console you then, like a mother caressing her son. Isaiah 66. Everlastingly I will betroth thee to myself, favor and redress and mercy of mine, thy dowry. Hosea 2. I will do everything for you. I will supply your dowry. It is but love's stratagem thus to lead her out into the wilderness. Once there, it shall be worth all the words of comfort. Hosea 2. God's love, brothers and sisters, is everlasting. God's love is profound. God's love we don't have the words for. But I promise you, if you put some things aside that are sinful, and you say to the Lord, Lord, show me your love for me and help me to love you in return. Pray it every day, and God will do that for you. That's the promise. God will do that for you because he loves you enough to have given his only begotten son to die for you. And that son loves you infinitely. Give your life to him. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.